Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816. It can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7.
I want to think about the idea of hope. Hope. You know, we use that word hope like I just did in many different ways. You know, we use it in modern life. We say, hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. Or we say, I hope we can make it, but I don't know. Hope we win the game. Young people might maybe have a little life usage of it. They may say, I hope I can go to college and make a good grades and get a good job, and I hope I can meet the right person and have good marriage and all that. You know, we use the word hope in our language to mean this is what I want and I'm not sure I'm going to get it, but boy, this is what I hope will happen. Maybe it'll happen, maybe not. And you know, in the Bible, there are so many verses that talk about the subject of hope. You can take your Bible concordance and just probably find a couple of hundred verses that talk about hope in the biblical sense of the word. And I certainly don't want to go that long and go into all of them, but I want to think about a few ideas connected with hope. I'll have like one main idea that I want to put across to you and then use about three examples from the Bible. That's my plan for what I want to do tonight. And I hope I can communicate that to you. You know, in the Bible use of the word hope, it's not like we use it where we say, I hope it doesn't rain. I hope that our plans work out. If you look up the definition of the word hope as it's used in the Bible, there's no doubt about it. It's a definite thing. Confident expectation. Sometimes in the New Testament, word hope is also translated trust. It's also translated faith. For example, hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering, Hebrews 10:23. Some same word is translated faith that could be translated hope. Confidence. Trust. Ephesians. First chapter of Ephesians, verse 12 said, talking about Christ, in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth. Trusted. Hoped. We trust in God. We trust in His promises. I guess one of the most famous verses that we think about is that verse in 1 Peter chapter 3, and then in verse 15, we quote this all the time. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. And we say our hope is what every Christian hopes for. It's the hope of heaven made possible through Christ. And there are so many verses that discuss how He gives us hope. And He is our hope. And heaven is our hope. And we know that that's a true thing. We're not going to die and then be surprised on the judgment day that, yes, well, this was all true. There really is a heaven. We don't have to worry about hope that our promises are true. We have confident expectation in our hope. And we have trust in our Savior. But that's not the angle that I want to talk about tonight. I want us to read a couple of verses and think about hope, not just our hope after this life is over, but our hope during this life right here. We could talk about hope for a long time, but I want to focus in on what you and I are going to do when we wake up in the morning and when we go through our coming days and weeks of life ahead and how we're going to face life. You know, sometimes people say the doctors gave him no hope. They're talking about this life. In this life, we want to trust God and we want to hope for a good life. But yet sometimes the problems in life hit us so hard, and life is so frustrating that sometimes we think, well, we're just going to have to be content with what happens in this life. As Paul said, we're going to have to learn to be content in all of our circumstances. And really, life's not going to get very much better. It's only going to degenerate as we get older, and things are going to happen. But then we'll have that hope of the blessed resurrection in heaven. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll get our thinking to such a point that we're thinking the only hope of good stuff is in heaven, and this life is going to be toil and suffering and frustration. And that kind of drains the energy out of our life. You know, it's just like your car battery. You know, if something's draining your battery, then pretty soon it goes down and gets weaker and weaker, and it's hard to function and do its job. I want you to look at a verse with me, and then I want to look at about three Old Testament examples that talk about this, and that's my lesson. I want you to look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 13, as a verse. He's already talked about hope in the book of Romans earlier in this chapter, in chapter 4. But in verse 15, he says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Think about that. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, and you abound in hope. You know, a lot of people are good Christian people, but I think if they would be honest, that sometimes in their life they don't have a lot of joy. They might not have a lot of peace. And that's through no fault of their own. That's just what life gives to people sometimes. You know, the day that we become a Christian, we start that road, but it's not a smooth road. And you know, along the path of that road, we know that the devil is a real entity, and he's out trying to trap us, and he's tempting us and trying to trick us. And he's trying to get us to get off that path. And one of the best weapons that he has is discouragement. Give us the idea that you're going to have a hard life here on earth, and your problems that you're going to face are just so great, you're not going to be happy. You don't have much hope of a better life here on earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us those three things that are going to remain, those three gifts. What are they? Faith and love and hope. It should be here. It should give us joy and peace. The God of hope should make it abound in our lives. And yet sometimes we don't really feel like that it's abounding in our lives very well. We figure every time that I get on the path and I get myself enthusiastic and I'm trying to do the right thing, and then here comes another setback. Here comes another problem in life that kind of drains the joy out of life, kind of tries to kill that hope. You know, you can't have a room with this many Christian people in it without some of you having problems that all humans face in this life. I know some of you have the problem of grief in your life. You've lost loved ones and you're having to adjust in that. We all go through that sometimes. People may have money problems, financial worries. They may have problems at work. You go to work, you work all day long to support your family and to do your job, and the people that you work with sometimes seem like an endless frustration to you and making life hard, and then it's very hard to leave all of that at work and come home and to try to live your own life without carrying that baggage home from work. People have stress in their families. People have little kids to take care of, and they're not necessarily stressed, but they're like a walking emergency. They drain a lot out of you. Mothers know that. You have disappointments in your life. People let you down. Maybe you let yourself down sometimes. You have temptations. You have your own weaknesses that you struggle with, and perhaps you don't feel comfortable talking about that to anyone except the Lord, but they're a temptation to you. Health problems. The older we get, the more of those we have. responsibilities. Sometimes people find themselves responsible for caring for some other person that's in ill health, maybe for an elderly relative or for a loved one. And maybe we try to go through all of those things and keep a good attitude, and yet sometimes the joy is missing. Sometimes peace of mind's not there. Sometimes we think there's not much hope in this life, but I'll do better in the next life, but I'm just going to have to wait till that day comes. Well, you know, when you have that attitude, when you get drained like that, it's hard to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, isn't it? It's hard to do the work that a Christian has to do here, to minister to those around us. It's hard to live the kind of life that would attract people to what we want. It's hard to walk faithfully when you have things that discourage you. The devil's pretty smart. He knows how to trick us. You know, people are always sending me little things that are funny and stuff, and I pass them on to people. And sometimes you've all seen the same stuff. And sometimes something that's kind of funny would make a point that people can remember better than something serious. And I got this the other day, and you've probably seen it, but it talks about how the devil operates. I thought it was pretty funny. It's talking about creation. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and He populated the earth with broccoli and cauliflower and spinach and green and yellow and red vegetables of all kinds, and man and woman could live long and healthy lives. And then, using God's great gifts, Satan created Ben and Jerry's ice cream and Krispy Kreme donuts. And Satan said, you want chocolate with that? And man said, yes. And woman said, and as long as you're at it, add some sprinkles. And they gained 10 pounds, and Satan smiled. And God created the healthful yogurt that woman might keep the form that man found so fair. And Satan brought forth white flour from the wheat and sugar from the cane and combined them. And woman went from size 6 to size 14. So God said, try my fresh green salads. And Satan presented Thousand Island dressing and buttery croutons and garlic toast on the side. And man and woman unfastened their belts. God then said, I have sent you healthy vegetables and olive oil in which to cook them. And Satan brought forth deep fried fish and chicken fried steak so big it needed its own platter. And man gained more weight, and his cholesterol went through the roof. And God then created a light, white, fluffy cake and named it angel food and said, it is good. Satan then created chocolate cake and named it devil's food. God then brought forth running shoes so that his children might lose those extra pounds through exercise. And Satan gave cable TV with a remote control so that man would not have to toil in changing the channels. And mankind laughed and cried before the flickering blue light and waxed fat. And then God brought forth the potato, naturally low in fat and filled with nutrition. And Satan sliced it into chips and deep fried them, and man gained. God then gave lean beef so that man might consume fewer calories and still be satisfied. And Satan created the 99-cent double cheeseburger and said, you want fries with that? And man replied, yes, and supersize it. And Satan said, it is good, and man went into cardiac arrest. God sighed and created quadruple bypass surgery. And then Satan created HMOs. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll think that's how life is doing us. I'm just trying to live this life and do the best thing I can and be a Christian. And it seems like every time I turn around, the devil's got some kind of plan and he's working against me to rob me of all the joy and peace and happiness that I'm supposed to have in this life. After all, didn't God promise me that I would have an abundant life? There are so many verses that give us hope that God has power and He does listen to our prayers. and that He will help us. And I can't read them all, but I want to real quickly give you three ideas, three stories from the Bible. You know, we're told there at the beginning of Romans, this chapter 15, chapter 4, that all these stories are to build hope up in us. And we've got some stories in the Bible that give us good examples, but there's three stories that I want to use that specifically talk about the idea of hope in this life and how that sometimes we can lose hope in this life. And the first story, I guess, is maybe one of the most famous stories in the entire Bible about how Satan is gunning for us. He's after us. And that would be the story of Job. You know the story of Job, the book of the same name. Everybody knows that the things that happened to Job were caused by Satan testing him. We know how he lost his money, how he lost his family, he lost his health. Then he lost the support of his wife and his friends, and instead of being an encouragement, they tended to discourage him, curse God and die. You must be doing something wrong. And nobody believed in him. Well, Job made an interesting statement over in the 7th chapter. Chapter 7, verse 6, he said, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope." You know, sometimes we tend to think this is how life is, man. It just goes by so fast. One day, you turn around and then the year's passed. And it seems like, where did the time go? And it seems like I'm no better off now than I was before. They're passing so fast and things just don't seem to be changing for the better. I just don't know if I have any hope for this life or not. Job didn't understand. He saw no hope. And yet, God took care of him. God had not abandoned him. He didn't understand, but he came out with God's help to get through his crisis. How about Abraham? God's promise to Abraham, and he waited so long, didn't get the answer that he thought he was going to get. Talk about Abraham again over in Romans. You've read chapter 4 of Romans many times. If you look down in chapter 4 of Romans, you can condense the story of Abraham into the way Paul wrote it. Starting with verse 18, he said, "Against hope, he believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old. Neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform." That statement is as true for us today as it was for Abraham. What God has promised to us, He's able to perform. He's able to take care of us. Yes, He's able to give us salvation after this earthly life is over, but more than that, He's ready to take care of us here in this earth. We cast our cares on Him, for He careth for us. In other words, the God of hope could fill Abraham with joy and peace, and he could abound in hope. And he could hope against hope for things that seemed to be impossible. How could he have a child when he was 100 years old and his wife was 90 years old? But it happened because of the power of God. Those were things in his life on earth. Third example, and you've heard this before, the study of Ezekiel is a fascinating study of the prophets. And, you know, one of the most famous stories associated with Ezekiel is the one that we've heard in song before, and we've talked about the Valley of Dry Bones story. And that's an example of God's power, not just in the life of an individual, but in the course of a nation. You know the story of how Ezekiel was shown something by God to show him a lesson. The Valley of skeletons, dried bones, bodies that had been killed in war and were laying there and no flesh upon them, nothing but bones. And then through God's power and through a miracle, they began to come alive again, and flesh and sinew appeared on them, and they stood up and they walked again. Ezekiel chapter 37, listen to this language. He says, "Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost. Say unto them, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." You know, it's real easy for us to look around at modern culture and to say, well, you know, the world's just a different place than it used to be. Our country will never be the same as it was when it was more close to God, more spiritual, strong, and society's getting worse every day, and people just don't want to listen to the gospel story anymore, and it's just, there's just not much hope for modern society. Well, God could change the nation of Israel. God's power is not limited to things that happen. And it's certainly not limited to our individual lives if we're going to work according to His plan. All through the Bible, we see stories of people who were able to come back because of God's power and because their lives could change according to the gospel and they could have hope again in their life. We see people who have done wrong, people who have sinned greatly, from David to Saul, the Apostle Paul, so many other people who have changed their lives around and who have come back and who have had things that they really should be guilty about, but they've overcome the guilt and they've gone forward and they led productive lives and became great servants of God. Lives can be changed. Problems in this life can be overcome. There's always reason for hope. Not only the hope of eternal life in heaven, but hope in this life here on earth. As I said before, there must be 100 verses at least that discuss hope in the New Testament. I need hope. You need hope. We all need hope. We all need to have something to make us feel like when I wake up tomorrow morning, I can get through the week and I'm not going to be drained of all my zeal and enthusiasm. I'm going to have something to keep me going. So how could I get that? Well, I got three verses here, three ideas real quick, and then my lesson's closed. Read some of those verses. Go home and get your Bible and open it up and read. You know, Romans 15:4 that I referred to a minute ago, this same chapter, says, "Things that are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." You want to have more hope in your life? Get some comfort from the Scriptures. Read those things. And if you're specifically interested in changing your life and getting you out of the dumps that you might be in, or the worry or frustration that you may be experiencing and the feeling of hopelessness, read what the Bible says about hope. Turn up that subject and read some of those verses. It's amazing how often that subject is discussed. Point number two, pray about it. Let God talk to you through His Scriptures, and then you talk to Him. Tell Him what's bothering you. He knows anyway. We know that. But tell the Lord in prayer what your burdens are, what your problems are. He answers prayers. Third point, let God use His church to give you hope. You know, that's what we are. We're the church. We're the people. And we're here to bear one another's burdens, to encourage one another. When one person's down, the other people can help him out. You know, whatever you're going through, and each person's problem might be different, somebody here has gone through it too, maybe. And they can give you some advice and some encouragement. And if they have never gone through it before, then at least they can say, I understand what you're saying, and we love you, and we're praying for you. You know, in this life, whatever the thing is that drains us of our hope, there's two ways we can handle it. We can handle it by ourselves, or we can handle it with God. Can't handle it by ourselves. There's no more loss of hope than the person who tries to live this life and face eternity without the hope that's in Jesus. If He's ready to give us hope and strength and encouragement, and we're not taking advantage of it, that's our fault. Perhaps you're thinking, well, this is how life does. We're going to suffer through. We're going to accept what happens. We're going to be glorified in the resurrection. We'll just have to endure it. Some things have to be endured. But don't give up. Don't give up hope. And especially if your hope is in your own ability to be a Christian, never give up thinking that it's too hard for me to be a Christian, that I can't do it, that I'm too weak, that I've made too many mistakes, that it's too late for me to start over. It's never too late. If you're not a Christian, that's the first step. Get on God's side. Let Him talk to you through His Word. Let Him hear your prayers. Let Him use other Christians to help you and to encourage you. If you are a Christian, perhaps you've done things that you're ashamed of and you know that were wrong because you were discouraged and you want to get back on path, start living for God again. You know how traditional it is that we offer an opportunity anytime the church meets for anyone that wants to put on the Lord in baptism, to be immersed in water, confessing your faith, forgiveness of your sins, be added to the church through baptism. You know that when we make mistakes, we pray for one another, that our faults are healed. You also know that sometimes maybe we haven't made any mistakes necessarily, but we're just down and we need prayer and we need encouragement. And we pray for one another about our problems and the things that we need not only to tell God about, but to tell one another about. Let people pray for us and support us and encourage us. The hope of all of us is the hope that's based on the resurrection of Christ. Our hope is a confident certainty. There's no doubt that we won't resurrect. There's no doubt that there isn't a heaven waiting for us. No matter what happens on this earth, we can have that. But we also have hope and promises and comfort waiting for us here in this life, if we're ready to claim it. I encourage you to think about these things, to do more private study, but if there's anything we can do for you tonight, as the church meets together, we'll sing a song now to give you an opportunity to make your wishes known. Would you please stand?
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.